Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 66 on October 18th, 2013. There is so much going on recently that I still haven't caught you guys up on, like my CatalystCon experience. But for right now, rather than jumping into that, because I'm still making notes on that one, I am going to dive right into the questions, because I have a whole bunch of them. And I have other things for you guys, too, and I have announcements, and just hold on to your seat and listen up. Here is the first letter. Hi, Ruby. I've been listening to your show for only about 3 months, but let me tell you, you've brought up points on your show that I was saying to myself. I love you and the show. What is the deal with strapless harnesses? My wife and I enjoy our play, but she couldn't keep the toy in place. She was dripping wet, and the 7-inch vibro toy would just slip out. We have other traditional harness, so we quickly had a custom change and we were back on track in no time. I really want the strapless toy to work. It really turns me on to know that my wife is feeling some direct stimulation. I stare at the box it came in and dream of her taking me. Wow. Okay, so the strapless harness issue. Yeah, let's talk about that one more time. The double-ended dildos that are marketed as strapless or harnessless pretty much aren't. They can be used without a harness or without straps by lesbian couples successfully, but they cannot, for the vast majority of heterosexual pegging couples, be used without a harness. And it personally drives me crazy that the manufacturers of these toys continue to advertise them as strapless or harnessless. Because then what happens is I get the blowback from you, my lovely fans and listeners and readers. I love you all, and you keep writing in and telling me your sad, bad experiences, or just frustrating experiences with these harnesses. Yeah, about, I would guesstimate, 90 to 95% of women cannot hold them in without a harness. Now, don't fall for the, you just have to have strong enough Kegel muscles, because I've also heard from women who have Kegel muscles that are so strong they can actually hurt their guy if they squeeze them, and they can't hold the harnessless double enders in either. So what I really don't want is for women out there to feel less than because they don't have strong enough Kegel muscles. That's a bunch of bullshit. So yes, they need a harness the vast majority of time. There are some women who claim to be able to use them without a harness. Now, I don't mean to be a doubter, but I always want to write. I should write. And when these women say that they can use them that way, I should write and ask them, okay, what are you talking about? Are you going to like lay down on the bed on your back with your legs together and let your guy ride you? Because, you know, I can do that with no harness too. But anyway, the vast majority of women absolutely need harnesses. So sorry that you had that experience. And I suggest that you find a double-ended dildo compatible harness and use it with that and enjoy it, because yes, the stimulation for her is awesome. I really, really enjoy that G-spot stimulation. And also, you know, if it's a good double, it usually has some good clitoral stimulation as well. And my favorite, as you all know, is the Happy Valley Tango, because the clitoral stimulation, the vibe, is placed really, really well. So there's that. But you know, sorry you had that experience, sir. And find a harness, try it out, and then write back and let us know how it goes. Okay, here's the next one, and I am so glad this guy wrote in. It's such a fascinating question. Why does it seem like there are so few African-American men into strap-ons and pegging? I am a college-educated African-American male who is in a loving relationship, and I have a secret. I love anal stimulation and strap-ons. I do love pegging and strap-on play, but I'm not so sure that my fiancé would. She and I live together, and we have spent a lot of time talking about many of our fantasies, but I am still reluctant to bring up the idea of pegging with her. How does one broach that subject? I have scoured the internet and searched high and low for looking for groups, forums, chat rooms, anything dealing with African Americans and this lifestyle, but I've yet to find much of anything. It seems nearly impossible to even find many images or videos of African American men being pegged. Why is this something that my race is so reluctant to embrace? Do you know of any resources on the subject? Thank you for your assistance. Feeling all alone. Well, feeling all alone. Thank you for writing in. And first of all, to answer your question, why does it seem like there are so few? Here is my guess, and it gets kind of deep right off the bat. Men in general, first of all, are kind of forced by society to appear strong all the time, to never appear weak. We've talked about this before on my podcast. So seeing as that's sort of a universal for all men, they're expected to never ever show any sign of weakness. Being as African American men are still somewhat disadvantaged in terms of discrimination, as good as this country has gotten, there's still a fair amount of it out there, which sucks. I hate it. I would think that the pressure then to not appear weak would be even more intense. But I can't speak for African American men. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I was trying to think if I knew of any guys who were into this. And yes, there was a man who actually helped me write a story, because one of my stories involved an African American man. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't make any gaffes. He wrote me and said, "Why do none of your stories involve a man of color?" So I said, you know, yeah, I'll write one, but I just want to make sure I don't blow it. I'd never written a story with anything other than white people, quite honestly, and was kind of embarrassed to realize that was true. So I made a point of writing the story. He looked it over. He said it was great. And it is posted in my stories for my subscription people. But you know what I'm going to do when I finish this podcast? I'm going to send you a copy of it. And then also there is an African-American man who attended one of my last pegging classes. But other than that, I don't really recall specifically any others. I do, you know, I get a lot of email and things from guys who I have no idea what race they are. So, you know, that those are people that I knew either from seeing pictures on the internet or have met them in person. So I put that question out there to the community. If there's any other men of color who are into the pegging, here is a man who is interested in talking with you all. Now, on to the second part of your letter. You like pegging and strap-on play, but you're not so sure your fiancé would. One of the ways that you can... It sounds like, first of all, that you guys have talked a fair amount about your fantasies and things. You mentioned that. So it would seem to me like not that big of a deal to say that you are interested in exploring a little anal play, because you read somewhere that there is a spot inside your anus, inside your rectum, that can give as much pleasure as her G-spot does. And just start there. Don't start with the strap-on. No. Bad idea. But just mention that and even research it together, read up on it together, and then ask her if she'd be willing to explore that with you. It sounds like you have a relationship that is open enough in terms of being able to talk to each other about this stuff to where that would not be that big of a deal, especially if the two of you do any kind of anal play already. So there's an idea for that. And of course, you can always go to my website and read the article convincing her to try it. And that will give you lots of ideas about what to do and also what not to do. One of the what not to do's is do not show her a pegging porn movie. No. So there you go. And let's see. You know, you mentioned at the last part of your letter, you ask if I know of any other resources on the subject of finding men of color who are into pegging. Well, another part of this is that we are a niche. We, you know, pegging people, it's kind of a small group. You know, it's growing all the time, but it's a small group. So if you take just the African American men of the pegging men, you're going to have an even smaller group. So it's just possible that there's not enough to where they really, you know, I don't know of any other groups either that are specifically pegging groups of race. So, but you know, feel free to start one. I think it would be awesome. And that way, you wouldn't feel alone. There would be a bunch of guys to talk to about it. Okay, my next letter. This is a little bit, it's strange English because this is not, I'm assuming, this letter writer's first language. I believe this letter was sent in from France. I consider as valuable the prostate massage as giving an immense and new sexual pleasure with soft movements with the hand or an adequate dildo not resembling to a penis like an Eneros. And I don't understand how you can realize the same with pegging, looking too hard and giving pain to efficiently massage the prostate. At any rate, you must use a fieldo to give pleasure to the woman doing the pegging. Okay, here's what I think you're asking, sir. You are asking that, yes, there are health benefits and pleasure benefits to massaging the prostate. But it seems to you, when you see pegging happen, that that would all be too hard and would potentially be painful. Okay, to address that, it all depends on what angle you're using. It all depends on how hard you're thrusting. I mean, certainly in some of the pegging porn movies, that is the case, but, you know, those are completely unrealistic because these guys have taken muscle relaxers and all kinds of things, so that they're not going to feel a thing. But the point is that no, pegging is not painful and should never be, and can absolutely massage the prostate equally as well, or perhaps even better, just because the level of excitement of doing that action of pegging can bring you just as much pleasure as a prostate massage. And at the end of your letter, you mention you must use a fieldo to give pleasure to the woman during the pegging. I am all for the double-ended dildos. I am a big fan of them. However, I think that there's a lot of room there for the flare-based singles, and I think that far too many people jump into the doubles too quickly. It's lovely for the woman to find pleasure during pegging. Not all women like the doubles. Some women don't want anything inside them when they're doing the pegging. And also, some women really prefer the feel of the flare-based singles with a vibe inside the end of that, or a vibe in the harness, or a wee vibe inside them. There's lots of different ways for women to find pleasure. All right, so I guess what I'm saying here is that all women are individual. Some women love the doubles. Some women don't like them at all. So it's an experiment in terms of where you get your most pleasure, whether it's your G-spot or your clit or combination of both. And it is a very individual thing. There is no must. There is no should. And it's just a journey of discovery to find out how she can find the most pleasure while pegging. Thank you for writing in, sir. Okay, here we go. This was something that was written to me as kind of an addendum to a letter that I received. This woman has what's called a vertical clitoral hood piercing. And what she's asking is, am I going to need to take it out every time I use my double ender, meaning a double-ended dildo? Seems like the pinching and pressure of that combo could be pretty darn unpleasant and possibly downright dangerous. Could you ask this question of your readership and listeners? Okay, ladies out there, if any of you have a clitoral hood piercing, specifically a vertical one, it's called a VCH, vertical clitoral hood piercing, and your peggers, write in, call in even, call in the number 800, no, it's not 800, the number is 805-500-6544, so feel free to call in or write in and let us know how you manage that, and what kind of equipment you use to peg, and if the two are compatible or incompatible, and what your experience is. Okay, and here's another letter. Hi, I'm writing you because I'm very new to pegging. I've been with my boyfriend for over a year and a half, and we've done anal play with hands to each other plenty of times. We recently went to a sex store to look around, and I noticed he kept going towards the dildos and strap-ons. I love it when that happens. I want to make him happy, so we purchased one. We used it the other night on him, and since then my mind has been racing. He enjoys it, but I'm not sure. I've been researching. And I know lots of straight couples do it, but still, I can't stop thinking. I want to make him happy. Is it common to wonder about his sexuality? I love him and enjoy it when we're doing it, but feel weird afterward. I'm just looking for advice and or opinions. Thank you so much. First, let me commend you on your open-mindedness that allowed you to indulge your boyfriend, purchase a strap-on, and have some fun. Well done. And then it's the usual thing here. The misconception that anal stimulation has anything to do with sexual orientation is really completely false. Unfortunately, it runs pretty strong in our society. Men who enjoy anal stimulation quite simply just enjoy anal stimulation. And, of course, there's a very good reason for that. The prostate gland, which is accessed from inside the rectum, feels as good to a man as the G-spot can feel to a woman. So that's pretty damn good. Now, as far as the thought that only gay men enjoy anal sex, a recent study showed that actually only 35 to 36% of gay men even have anal sex. And yet, unfortunately, that's the first thing people assume when a man enjoys anal stimulation is that he must like other men. And this is so not true. So, here's the deal. Because this connotation is so strong, it's pretty common, actually, unfortunately, for women to wonder about their man's sexuality when first exploring anal play and pegging. Usually, these women quickly work past the concerns and they just understand that it's a different way to find pleasure and it has no bearing whatsoever on his gender preference. So part of the reason you feel weird is because all those misconceptions you've had for all those years, and you're kind of trying to let go of them. You're finding out that that's really not the reality. Also, you might be feeling weird because it's kind of a strange sensation to strap one on for the first time. It can feel awkward and strange because you've never had a penis, but you'll get used to it. Now, if your boyfriend was straight before you pegged him, he's not going to suddenly develop a craving for men and hairy chests and muscles and cocks. He will, however, probably really enjoy the pleasure, the role reversal, and the vulnerability. So don't let that part worry you. Just enjoy it with him. And also, you can go to my website and click the tag cloud on the left where it says, "Is he gay?" And there is a wealth of information there for you. Okay, next question. Dear Ruby, I actually have a two-part question. First, are there any good methods to get my wife interested in pegging? We have talked about some of our fantasies, but I'm still reluctant to bring up the idea of pegging with her. I'm considering having us try the Mojo Upgrade website, and was thinking about having a strap-on catalog or gift certificate sent to our apartment but addressed to the previous tenants, using the guise of us receiving an accidental mailing as an opportunity to spark her possible interest in strap-ons. There has to be a better way. I need ideas to get her to give it a try. Second set of questions. I have been reviewing a number of double dildos and harnesses and are down to four choices. The Aslan Jaguar harness, Spare Parts Jacques harness, Happy Valley Tango double dildo, and the Nexus double-ended dildo. I am wondering which pairings would work better together and which is better for female-to-male penetration. I've read a lot of reviews on products like the Fieldo that are great for female-to-female sex, but when used on a guy, the dildo tends to be too hard for anal sex, and the angle on the business end can even make penetration feel uncomfortable. Thank you in advance for your assistance. Nervous and confused. Wow, that was a really well-written letter. Thank you for being so to the point and concise. As to your first paragraph, letting your wife know about pegging. Is this like the constant theme that runs underneath the questions, the website, my interactions with all of you people? It's just the most amazing thing. Over and over and over again, I get asked this question. And I hope that you guys don't get bored of the answer. I really do, because I can just close my eyes and then talk about it. Here's the deal. If you are interested in this, first of all, what you need is good communication with your wife. You need to be able to talk about what happens in bed. Ideally, you two have talked a little bit about your sexual fantasies that you have. And ideally, you've talked a lot about it. So first of all, that communication line has to be open. If you have a relationship where you're just not talking in bed at all, I heard someone, I can't remember where I heard it, but I've heard someone say, if you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it. Now, that's kind of a sad statement to make for people who never talk in bed, but you get my point. You really need to have a decent line of communication. And for people who have started off not talking in bed, which unfortunately is the norm, That can feel very, very uncomfortable at first, but you got to go there. You got to bite the bullet and you got to just start talking. The Mojo upgrade is a lovely idea. I would not go through the machinations of trying to get a fake piece of mail sent to your place so that it might spark her interest. Because, okay, think of it this way. She could be thinking about this, and she could be like, no way, I'm going to talk to my husband about it because he might freak out and he might, you know, reject me because he thinks that's too weird of a thing to do. So in reality, you two could be sitting there thinking this is a way cool thing to do and too afraid to talk to each other. Now, the Mojo upgrade helps a lot with that, okay? But if you don't do the Mojo upgrade, or if you do the Mojo upgrade and both of you are too afraid to check that box for fear of what might happen, here's a way that you can do it. And I explained this just on the earlier letter that I received. You're in bed, you're having a good time, you're exploring things, you're talking about what you like, okay? Whether in bed or out of bed. And ask for some anal. Ask her if she will pleasure your ass a little bit with her finger. Always ask for a finger first. Do not bring the strap up on right away, because that is what can blow women out of the water. So what you want to do is start enjoying anal play. Now, to be clear, it's okay if she decides she doesn't like this and you decide that you do. You can still ask for it. You can still enjoy it. And, you know, ask her to maybe do anal play while giving you a blowjob or something like that. And then just be really eager about it and say that you really enjoyed it. And then the whole education thing. It's okay. It starts with communication. And then you want to do education. Then you want to have patience. So the education part is telling her that you found out that there's a spot inside your rectum that feels just as good as a G-spot inside a woman's vagina, and that you're really excited about that and you'd like to explore it. So that is the way to get her interested. And as best you can, do not present this like it's leukemia. Present it like it's the coolest thing ever that you found out about and you're really excited about it. Not only really excited about it, but you're excited about it to try it out with her. So that is the way to approach it. It doesn't have to be tricky, you know? It just has to deal with open communication. Things that you don't want to do, don't show her a pegging porn movie. I said that in the last letter. Bad idea. And, you know, showing her something that is right there with the strap-on thing right away, Go with anal play first. Because when you go with anal play first, then it's sort of a little bit more of a logical next step would be the whole strap-on thing. But anal play can be accepted much more easily because it does not yet involve the gender role reversal. It does not involve her strapping one on, and that's sometimes a really big deal for women. So there's my ideas about that. Now, as far as your second set of questions about you've been reviewing things, the Avalon Jaguar harness is a yummy, yummy leather harness made extremely well. Highly recommended. Spare parts Jacques harness is ultimately comfortable, washable. It's the difference between those two would be if you just don't want to do the leather care, or you're not that much into leather and you want something that's very efficient and it looks okay. I wouldn't say it's the sexiest harness, but certainly spare parts has other harnesses that are very, very sexy. But if you're into the whole washable thing and ease, that's awesome. If you are in love with leather, then you're going to want to get a leather harness. The small advantage that you have in terms of fit is that the Jacques is, and all the spare parts harnesses are elastic. So there's going to be that little bit of extra being able to tighten that thing right against your body so that it feels like it's a part of you. That's the advantage of the leather harnesses. There's a little bit more comfort, tiny bit more comfort with the spare parts. So that's kind of the difference between those two. It really depends on what you and your wife like when you finally talk to her about it. Now, do not buy equipment. This is so funny. I'm going to tell you the answer about the dildos too, but do not buy the equipment without her. Make that be a joint purchase. Talk with her about the type of equipment and what she thinks she would like, because it's better that way. She knows her body really well, and she would know what would probably feel better to her than other choices. So, okay, so back to your question. The Happy Valley Tango Double, the Nexus Double Ended. I'm a big fan if you are going to buy a double of the Happy Valley Tango. I've made that quite clear. The Nexus Double Ended, I don't believe has a vibrator. I know one person who that's their very favorite toy, no matter what, but I don't know very many people who that's their favorite toy. And let's see, I'm wondering which pairings would work better together and which is better for female-to-male penetration. If you get the double, you have to have a harness. I covered that in one of the last letters. But I am a big fan of not starting off with a double. A double is an added layer of complexity. And for beginning peggers, I've said this over and over and over and over again, I think that it's a really good idea, seeing as the learning curve is extremely steep, for the women to have a flare-based dildo and to let her get the hang of it first, to let her get the hang of the movements and the basic fucking, the running the fuck. She needs to be able to do that without the added pressure of, okay, and honey, you're enjoying yourself now, aren't you? Aren't you? Even though you're fucking me, you're enjoying yourself. You're getting off, right? None of us want to go through that. We want to get good at it first, and then we want to have something that maybe can be added in there to give us an orgasm. There's going to be the women out there that'll just get off from the pressure of the base of the dildo against their clit. And I envy you, lovely ladies. But we don't want, we don't need the pressure to get off when we're trying something brand new that is kind of awkward and strange in the beginning. So consider, sir, getting a flare-based single. Okay. And yes, one last point. I would have to agree with you that the Fieldo, I have heard a lot of feedback about that. Not a tremendous amount. There are some people who love their Fieldos, but there are a certain amount of guys who say that it's just too hard and it's uncomfortable. And yes, the angle is not quite right, because when you switch your positions around, if you have a flare-based single, you can turn that thing so that the curve of the dildo matches where you're trying to hit for the prostate, right? But you can't do that with a double. So it's a little bit more important that the double's a little more flexible. One of the doubles is called the Fun Factory Share. That's very, very flexible. Some people say it's too flexible, too floppy is how they describe it. And then, hopefully, this is how it's advertised, the Happy Valley Tango is right in between. It's not too floppy, but it's not too hard. I love mine, gotta tell you that. Okay, let's see, where are we now? Okay, which brings us to our next letter. And it's been too long, you guys. I'm really happy to announce it is pegging celebration time. Okay, here we go. Good evening from across the pond. That's jolly old England. It's taken me a while to get round to writing you. Some of that is purely lack of confidence. Some is a 2-month-old baby that has totally taken over my life. I'd like to thank you more than anything for helping me in my pegging journey. My partner, 25, and I, 21, are very new to the scene. Over the very short 2 years we have been together, it's taken a long time to open up, in more ways than one, to each other. For some bizarre reason, I have never felt so sexually alive whilst being pregnant, on the good days, that is, and now as a new mum. We started talking a few months ago, not quite sure how we got onto the topic, about anal play, and how he was interested, and, well, I got awfully curious and began looking into the female-to-male side of things. To cut a long story short, I stumbled across your blog first, started listening to a few podcasts and such, read the articles you had written, and it spurred me into action. We browsed the internet, following your safety guidelines on what toys to buy, and came across the Fieldo. It appealed so much more to me, being a larger woman, that I could not bear the heartbreak of buying a harness and discovering it not to fit. Along with purchasing one of those, we invested in a pack of 3 different sized plugs to, well, get training. Needless to say, we worked up to the Fieldo in next to no time, and as clumsy as his, our first time was, we thoroughly enjoyed it and are practicing regularly. Hearing him moan while, excuse the language, fucking him in the ass just sends shivers down my spine. So empowering, so dominating. Ooh-ah! Still working on holding the Fieldo in properly, but I think a pair of rodeo panties will do the trick. I've been using boxers temporarily. Blush. I am quite enjoying having a secret cock. Thank you for reading. I really wanted to share this with someone, but as you can imagine, as sad as it is, you cannot talk about this subject matter with many folk. Looking forward to your response. Kind regards, a loyal fan and her very pleased man. I am so happy for you guys. And right off the bat, here is one more time where somebody with a double ender thinks that they don't need a harness. There are a lot of harnesses out there that are made for fabulously large women. There really are. The Spare Parts has a larger one, and they all come with measurements. So it's not a big deal to take your measurements, know what they are, and then go shopping, because the Spare Parts has larger ones. And especially, you know, you found the rodeo, and I think that that's a grand solution for you, absolutely. But if you wanted to get a different kind of a harness than that one, it's a pretty easy thing to do. They all accommodate larger women. And some of the leather ones, too, come in sizes that will accommodate very large women. So, yes, that is a suggestion, is to take a look around and look at the measurements on those if you feel like you want to buy one, in addition to the rodeo. I am just thrilled at your description of how much fun you had, but also I'm thrilled that you actually bought the butt plugs and took the time to kind of, open up and train them into it, which is totally awesome. To me, what that sounds like is that you took time in exploring this, which I keep telling people is just the best way to do it, because then you don't miss as much, you know? And I hope I pronounced that exclamatory word right. Ooh-wah. I think I would probably say yee-haw. Of course, that's kind of cowboy sounding, but yeah, I get it. It is very empowering, and it can be very dominating, and it can really tap into that hidden part of a woman that, if she has one, that's always wanted to kind of run the show. So I'm totally with you on that one. And I find it also fascinating that your sexuality kind of went into hyperdrive while you were pregnant, and now that you're a new mom. That's totally cool. Most of the time, it's the other way around, and guys really have to back off for a long time because the woman's on overwhelm, and she's not getting a whole lot of sleep, and she doesn't feel very sexy. So how delightful for both of you, but especially for your husband, that you are actually experiencing that in the opposite direction. Good for you guys. Okay, and this is our second pegging celebration time story. A few weeks ago, I wrote you regarding being hesitant to try pegging due to feeling vulnerable. With your advice, I decided to take a major step and I purchased the Purple Tantus Bendover Intermediate Kit, as it seemed to be a good first harness and toy at a reasonable price. My girlfriend liked the way it looked and admitted to putting it on and checking it out in the mirror to get used to the idea of wearing it. I didn't push her to use it right away, but I know she was thinking about it, because this past weekend she brought up the idea of putting it to use. We started having sex normally, with her choosing a few positions that are her favorite and achieving several orgasms. At that point, she put the harness on with the Tantus large silk dildo in place. She used another toy to get me warmed up before pegging me with the silk. We started with me on my back, with legs wrapped around her body, and the toy felt like an appropriate size. This was the first time pegging for both of us, but she must pay attention to what I do when we have sex, as she moved her hips well and raised up and down to adjust the angle. It felt good for me and was very intimate, with plenty of kissing and eye contact. She then suggested bending me over the edge of the bed, and she went to town. This position felt even better, and when she touched my cock at the same time, it felt amazing. Unfortunately, with the bent-over position, she wasn't able to rub me enough to achieve orgasm, but after approximately 15 minutes of pegging, I finished the job myself and had a very strong orgasm. I am impressed with her performance, with the only complaint being that the dildo slipped out once or twice and she didn't notice. I noticed a couple of things during the experience, including using a lot of lube. We stopped a few times to use more lube as I started to notice mild discomfort when the lube started to dry up. Would pre-lubing with a syringe prevent this? Also, the Tantus Silk is a smooth toy, and while it felt good, I think a slightly larger toy with some texture would feel even better. Do you have any suggestions? Also, please let me know your thoughts on the Tantus line and their line of toys. Thanks, Ruby. Wow. So, you got over your fear of being vulnerable, or your hesitancy to experience something that would make you feel that vulnerable. Good for you. Congratulations. And yes, the Tantus Bendover Intermediate Kit is a perfect, reasonably priced kit to start with. Glad you chose the intermediate. The beginner is too small. So it's way cool that your girlfriend put it on and checked it out in the mirror. You know, there are some women who, even the first time they put something on, put a harness and a strap on, that they just take to it. And it's like, I don't know. What it makes me think of is that maybe they were a man in a previous life, and they know that roll of the hips, and they just know how to do it, which is totally cool. Whatever it is, whether she studied on the internet or watched you and paid attention, some women are naturals, and it sounds like she was. Because, you know, missionary position is not an easy one for starters. It really isn't. And I had to laugh when you said, you know, your only complaint was that it slipped out a couple of times and she didn't notice. Well, yeah, she didn't notice because we can't feel it slip out. So even though it might seem really silly to you that, you know, we are sitting there thrusting away and it's like, honey, it's out, that is part of what happens because we can't feel it, which is why that intermediate kit was a bigger buy, because you would have had that times 10 with the beginner kit. So, you know, I've heard that bent over position on the bed is a really, really good one to target the prostate. And I'm assuming you meant standing. So you guys were standing on the side of the bed and then you bent over the edge of it and kind of supported yourself and she was behind you. I've heard that's a really, really good one. And let's see here. The lube. Okay. Part of it can be the lube that you use. There are some water-based lubes that do tend to dry out and get sticky, and those are really bad ones to use for anal. My favorite is Boy Butter, the H2O-based one. And there are some other ones, too, that I'm going to recommend, but, you know, I'm not going to go into it now because a friend of mine just reminded me that I have yet to do a really extensive podcast on lube, and you know, all kinds of people do podcasts on lube, but because anal is my specialty, it changes things and it's more important to take that into consideration. So try some different lubes, paying attention, of course, to the fact that you have a silicone toy and you don't want to use a silicone lube. And also, you know, it's funny because I put that right out there. It's so hard for me not to dive into a subject and just mention it. But there is talk these days of the high-quality silicone toys being compatible with the high-quality silicone lube. And high-quality silicone lube is actually what people like the best for lube choices for vaginal sex, usually, because it lasts and lasts and lasts. I'm not sure I'm that much of a fan of it for anal, but perhaps it's a matter of preference, but the only reason I stopped and went back is because I said, you know, no silicone lube with silicone toys. That used to be the case. But now that's changing. If you get really high quality silicone lube, and obviously test it on your toy first so that it doesn't ruin anything, that's the last thing you'd want, is to have a very expensive toy ruined. Okay, so leaving the lube question, because I'm going to do a podcast on that soon. You also mentioned that, yes, it's a smooth toy and that you were thinking maybe something larger and maybe something more textured. This is a perfect example of what I mean when I say that men have individual tastes. Some men love that smooth feeling, and they're totally satisfied with the size of the one that you just used. But you need to listen to your ass, which it sounds like you're doing. And if what you're kind of craving is what it would feel like to have more texture, then go for it and try something different. When you say more texture, you can mean that it has a matte finish. You know, there are the ones that have the very slick, smooth finish, just like the Tantist one that you already have. And there's also ones that have a matte finish that are slightly rougher. Some men love that, some men hate it. The other thing you could possibly mean when you say more texture is that it has is maybe some ridges, so that when it goes in and out, or when it goes against your prostate, that's rubbing against your prostate. So there's lots of toys out there. I highly recommend the Tantist line. They do a fabulous job with all kinds of different lovely silicone dildos. They're really amazing. The Vixen Creations is also good as well. And there are some very interesting ones in the Happy Valley Silicone line as well. So, okay, let's see what else. Some people like pre-lubing with a syringe, but I really don't think that that's necessary. I think that you just need to find the right lube mix that goes with your body, basically. I don't mean mixing lubes together. I mean the one that goes with your body. Okay, so let's see here. I think I'm done. And let's see, I have a bunch of stuff to tell you. First, I wanted to let you know that I have another interview that I am editing. Our lovely gentleman who went to the sex worker for his very first pegging experience actually went back and was kind enough to call me back. So I am editing that interview and I will have it up just as soon as I can. It's fascinating, it's wonderful, and it's just delightful that he decided to share this with us, because how often do you get to hear a guy talk about this? And he and I are still laughing about, well, yeah, and how often does he get to tell anybody else about it except Ruby Ryder, right? So, I'll get that up as soon as I can. And let me announce a couple of classes that are happening. Up here in Ventura, I am going to be teaching a class on Saturday, October 26th, and it's Anal Play for Beginners. And that is at the Kama Sutra Closet, and it's from 5 to 7 p.m., and the cost is $20 for that two-hour class. This is specifically a class for people who have always been interested in anal but haven't ever really explored it a whole lot, or maybe they're just beginning to explore it and they have some questions. And this is a class for single people, couples, men, women, solo play, couples play, all of it. We won't go into pegging that much. That's just something that'll get mentioned, but it will basically give you a very good overview of what anal play is like, how and why you can get pleasure from it, what toys are available, techniques to use, things to remember, safe play, clean play, all that stuff it'll cover. And then on Sunday, November 3rd, I am going to teach one more time my beginning and advanced pegging class. The beginning is going to be from 5 to 6:30 and the advanced from 7 to 8:30. Same location, Kama Sutra Closet in Ventura. And I will have the links on my website for you to click into those classes. And if you just want to go to my website and look over to the left, it'll say Classes and Education. And right now, what I've got up on the Ruby's News area in the upper right-hand corner of my website is a link that goes directly to that, since that's an up-and-coming thing. Next Wednesday night, Body Storytelling is happening again, and it's called Forbidden Desires, and I am absolutely going to be there with all of my friends, and I hope you all can make it. It is at a different venue. Body Storytelling has won a couple of more awards since the last time I mentioned it, and has moved venues from the El Cid to Busby's East, and that is a much bigger venue. That is actually the home of The Moth. The Moth is a storytelling contest that is I don't know, body storytelling was called the moth for pervs by LA Weekly, but the moth has been going on for a really long time, and you can catch episodes of that on, you can download them as podcasts. You can listen to them a lot on NPR stations and stuff. It's one of my favorite things to listen to on podcasts, because you never know what kind of stories you're going to hear. And who knows, maybe we can get Dixie to podcast the body storytelling someday. I don't know. That subject matter might be something that you only get to hear if you show up. That's the deal, right? You only get to hear the personal, private, sexy, funny, poignant, amazing stories if you show up. That's the deal. And, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, I mentioned that I hadn't had any time to talk about Catalyst Con. Well, let me just give you one little view into the Catalyst Con thing, was that there was a body storytelling with Tristan Taramino there, and Dixie said that there were a lot of other storytellers as well, amazing storytellers, but Dixie said that Tristan had never told a body before, and you know, pretty much everything Tristan Taramino does just blows my doors off. She's an amazing person. And sure enough, the story that she told was absolutely incredible. And I will always be grateful that I decided to get my butt out of my hotel room, stop obsessing over moderating the ass panel the next morning, and go and have some fun at Body, because it was totally, totally amazing. Okay, so I think I'm done here. So let me tell you all my regular stuff. In case you've forgotten the number, you can leave your questions and or stories at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page that's getting lots of thumbs up recently. Thank you all so much for that. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures, and I post things that sometimes never ever show up on my podcast. And my podcast is on iTunes, but can also be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. And if you do download it from iTunes, rate my podcast, give me a cool review. It would be totally, totally awesome. And you guys have been listening. Thank you so much, because I'm getting more ratings and I'm getting more reviews, and I love it. Please send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com if you don't want to call the question line. Thank you, as always, for downloading and listening. It's all of you out there that keeps me doing this. I love it, and I'm so glad that you do too. Happy pegging.